Of a feather flock together, but vultures circle around dead things. Thank God for the Word of God. I was just sitting up there hearing from heaven. I'm going to be talking to you this morning and tonight. Things that we should flock together around. God said, you know that what we hang with is very important to us. And God says, you got some good people there. We got to learn some things. And there's some important things we want to learn. And one of the things God's going to be speaking to us about is what kind of people do we flock around? Who do you hang with? How to choose people to hang with and grow. Either you can grow or go back. And there are about four kinds of people that you want to do this. Look for somebody full of faith. Say, full of faith. Full of a good confession. Full of the Holy Ghost. And full of love. Write that down. Tonight we're going to be talking about finding people that are full of the Holy Ghost and full of love. But you want to find people. These are the people you want to hang around. And these kind of people don't circle around dead things. People that are full of faith, full of a good confession, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of love. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. Who could stop some people, a group of people like that? What could the devil do when you are surrounded with relationships and they got a good confession? Everybody that you hang with got a good confession. It'd be hard to get down, wouldn't it? It'd be hard for the devil to attack you, because you know the enemy does attack. You know he does challenge your faith. The bigger the thing of God that you're going to want to accomplish, the harder the attack of the enemy. So don't let the devil lie to you and say, hey, I'm missing. If I should have never done what God wanted me to do, all this stuff wouldn't have happened. See, it's just an attack. You'll get over it. And you'll get over it if you hang around people that are full of faith, people that have a good confession, people that are full of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, who shall show signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible. That's a promise for some of you people. Anybody's worried about. Everybody worried about, I don't want to be led astray. I don't want to go off, because all these false Christs. And all these false prophets will come. I like going to charismatic churches because you're going to get caught up in a big mess. Say, if it were possible. What does that mean? They shall deceive the very elect. Say, it's impossible for the elect of God to be deceived. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, here he is in the desert, go not forth. Say, don't go. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Say, don't believe it. You're not supposed to believe everything. Just because it's in a church building, you don't believe everything. You don't put your faith to everything. Here's a scripture that says, believe it not. We need to learn to say that to one another. We need to learn to get ourselves rooted and grounded in the Word, that when weird and freaky things happen and gross things come, strange things, strange wildfires that would get people off and out of focus. Well, you're grounded in the Word. You can say, hey, believe it not. And you can stand in faith not to believe it, because you got the Word of God. Have any of you ever had some things that just didn't seem quite right? It was a spiritual thing, but everybody else was eating it. You just can't chew on everything that everybody's chewing on. There are a lot of things that float around the body of Christ. They float around. There are a lot of strange things out there, but everything just isn't good for us. And there's a time in the Word of God when you have to believe it not. There have been many manifestations in things that came. I believe God. I believe God can do anything and everything that he wants to do. But everything that happened doesn't mean I have to apply my faith to it. And you can stand in faith not to believe something. Behold, here he is in secret chamber. Believe it not, for as a lightning cometh out of the east and the shining and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles gathered together. Say, vultures circle around dead things. When Jesus comes, you don't want to be one of those that are circling around a dead thing. You want to be expecting the coming of the Lord. You got to, one of the things that Brother Hagin had taught, listen, you got to go with the ways of God and with the moves of God. Say, go on with the next step, with the next wave of glory. We're to go on from glory to glory to glory. And you don't want to be stuck in the mud on anything. Say, faith. Why am I talking about this right here? Because this goes along with the kind of people you want to hang with. People of faith. People of stability. People of faith and people that have stability, they don't get caught around dead things. I mean, anybody remember the grace of God? That it's still out there. There's still supernatural joy. God's still moving in joy. He's moved on and done even greater things than that. And you don't want to be stuck on something? You don't want to be stuck in the mud? Say, I don't want to be a stick in the mud. I don't want to be stuck. And that's what kills many great revivals and many great churches, where revival has happened in a church. One form, one manifestation was very prevalent there, and they just stayed there instead of going on to what God was doing next. And the church dies out. You go down to Houston and in many inner cities, and you see churches with the name Full Gospel Tabernacle of the Light of Jesus Christ, fire baptized under the sun, over the mountain, through the hills and the valleys, under the rock, because I said so and he said so too, Church of the Deliverance. You know, they got more words on their marquee than people sitting in the pew. Why? Say, something that happened and a grace that God was moving in that they got stuck in. Do you know that in the early 80s and also in the time, there was a grace of deliverance? Does God still deliver? Say, yes. But do you know there was a wave and an anointing of God's grace where there was such a strong anointing on the manifestation of deliverance that they, I mean, it was like wherever, every church you would go to, they'd be moving in deliverance. Why? Because these devils were coming out. Why? I don't know. There was just a grace for it. Then God moved on. We can still be delivered. We can still, but the spotlight might not be on deliverance ministry, right? Then there was a time when healing was prevalent in the 40s. There was a great healing revival. And if you had gone to church in the 40s, some of the Pentecostal churches, I tell you what, you'd see some healing things that you don't get to see quite too much today. Now, some of you think, because we don't have the faith. No, they probably have about the same measure of faith that you have. We always want to build people up beyond what they really are. And want to put ourselves, we must be really missing. We're not seeing the things that they saw 30 years ago. Well, I believe that some of you are walking in the same faith that some of them are walking in. But it was just a grace and just an anointing. So don't beat yourself up. Find out what God's trying to do in you today. What's the best gift needed? What's the best gift? The one that's needed at the time. And at that time, healing was definitely needed. Is it needed today? Say yes. Did God do away with it? No, it's still there. Stability and faith. Well, one of the reasons why I'm sharing this scripture in the area that you have to find people that are full of faith. People that are full of faith are full of stability. Say, we're not moved by what we see, hear, or feel. Well, maybe what we hear if you hear the word of God. Say, you're going to stand on the word no matter what, by faith. People think that faith is just believing any old wild crazy thing. No, faith is believing the word of God and standing there and not being caught up in a bunch of foolishness. Now, it says right here, listen, in the last days, many, what does it say? What is it? Many what will come? Many false Christs and false Christs will arrive. They'll say, here's the Christ, there is the Christ. Say, strange, false anointings. They say, come on out here and get it. Notice that they say, come out into where? Let's go out into a what? Desert place. Let's go out in the place of indecision, where you can't make up your mind and you get lost. I'm going to tell you what. Don't go out and follow any prophet in a desert place. You don't know where they're going and they don't know where they're going. They're stuck in the rut and you're supposed to go out there and hear them too. Don't go out to the desert to hear anything. Stay stable. If there's a new anointing that's going to come, it's going to help you get to your expected end. God spoke to your heart where you're supposed to go with your life. I can't prophesy into that to you. You've got to know within yourself. And every grace and every anointing of God will help you get to whose expected end? Your expected end. That's how you can discern the Spirit of God. They're going to help you get to where you got to go. So they're not going to call you from your path, from your journey. Some new way. People get so afraid of every anointing. Things are going to change. But of course, you're going to end up where God wants you to go. Just because of revival, God's going to change his mind about what he told you 3 years ago. God is still working on fulfilling His plan. And every new revival and every new grace and every new wave is not going to do anything but help you get to where He already said you would go faster and with more ability and with more power. So if a new grace and a new manifestation of revival came through Nation's Church, what would it do? Do what He already told us to do. Build the house of God. Well, if you're supposed to be a missionary, if a new grace, a new revival, a new anointing came with you, that new grace, that new revival, that new anointing, it would not take you to the wilderness and leave you in confusion. It would give you more ability and more power to fulfill what you were called to do. Don't go to the desert. And don't get all crazy and secret about it. This thing wasn't done in the corner. That's in the Bible. You got to be really careful when people say God told them something, they got it off in the corner. And if God gives you the word, His word is light. You have to get all secretive about it. You know, if we got some revelation that we have to keep so secret, I'd second guess it. We can proclaim it and it shall stand. Speak it. The Bible says write the vision and make it plain that those that hear it might be able to run. Write it out and let everybody know where you're going. Everybody. Everybody that hears it will run. Some will run with the vision and put the devil on the run. Don't believe prophets in the wilderness. And don't believe those that are trying to put you in a closet someplace. Secret ministry. Anybody seen it? Some of y'all have been out there for a while. People get a hold of you. Some people claim to have prophet. We got to learn these things by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. These are the last and evil days. And if we're going to find people that are full of faith, you're going to want to walk with people that don't get caught up in the foolishness. People that remain stable. Don't have to talk them out of this rut. Don't have to talk them out of that rut. But they got faith and stability that they're going to stay on their charted course. Say, I know where my friends are going. I know what the call of God is on their life. And any anointing is going to keep them on that path. Walk with people of faith and stability. How can we do this? Acts chapter 6 verse 8. So you can tell a person of faith, they remain stable. And they remain strong. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Well, that's somebody you need to hang with. Well, what kind of wonders and miracles did Stephen do? I thought about that in prayer this morning. I was in prayer and I was thinking, it said, Stephen did many great signs and wonders among the people. I was thinking, did he hold a revival like Smith Wigglesworth? Was he walking around like Paul and Peter and all these ones that were doing these great things, just pulling people up out of wheelchairs? Was he doing stuff like that, making the lame walk and do all those other things? He said he performed many great signs and wonders. You know what the Holy Spirit put in my heart? He said, you know what wonders and signs he was performing? In order for him to do what I wanted him to do in his ministry, he had to perform wonders. He had to feed many people. Maybe he did one of those fish and loaves of bread ministries. How about that? Because he had to, right? See, many of you are going to perform many signs and wonders as you are on your course. Maybe your course might not be to get up there and hold a Benny Hinn crusade, but you're called, amen, to do whatever it is God called you to do, to the simplest thing. If it's called to vacuum a floor, at times it'll get difficult to vacuum a floor. How many of you would love to see somebody working a sign and a wonder and vacuum a floor? And to get a toilet clean with no brush. Get a bill paid you don't have any business paying. You don't have no money to pay it. That's a sign and a wonder. How do you keep going when nobody else says you can? He performed many great signs and wonders among the people. And some of you don't realize it, but you're doing some things that normal people just don't do. You're standing in areas where others would have given up a long time ago. Many great signs and wonders among the people. I wonder how they're doing that. I wonder how he's making it. He must have got several millionaires over there in Nation's Church. Hallelujah. I wonder, have you already considered the signs and wonders that have already been performed in your midst and you want to see more? Amen. Wonder why you didn't run. Wonder why you stayed. Many great signs and wonders. Ask the Holy Ghost to speak that into your heart. God, show you, let me see my sign and my wonder. Let me see already the things that were performed in me. Don't let me limit myself to somebody else's works. Let me fulfill and do what you want me to do on a daily basis. Say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do today, even if it takes me to believe you to work a sign, a wonder, or a miracle. Jesse lost a vehicle this year. And within 1 week, one came back without the person knowing that he had lost one. I tell you what, that's a wonder, isn't it? And that's a sign from heaven. And that sign from heaven says, Jesse, don't you worry about a thing. God will make a way out of no way. You just keep doing what God wants you to do. Many great signs and wonders among the people did they do. People that are full of faith. See, you'll see signs and wonders when people start to believe and obey God. See, faith is obedience to the word. See, many people, we're not seeing great faith because people refuse to obey God. They say, I don't have the means to do it. God says, you got signs and wonders on your side. If you just step out, you'll do it. Say, I can do what I have to do. Because signs and wonders on my side. I want to encourage you this morning, sister. You didn't step out there to do a big thing. And boy, did the wind start to blow. Well, when the wind starts to blow, it's time for, you know, it's time for a sign and a wonder. If God told you to do it, then stand in faith and do it. And even if it takes a sign and a wonder to make the thing happen, let it happen. Many great signs and wonders did Rita do. Think about yourself. If somebody was going to write a book about your life, many great signs and wonders did little Belle do. Many great signs and wonders did Crystal do. People that are full of faith. Expect something good to happen. Think about the things that you've done. Things, impulses that God has put on your heart that you went out and believed God and you did it and it made a difference. Many great signs and wonders. People of faith perform signs and wonders. Now listen, Acts chapter 6 verse 1. In those days the number of disciples was multiplied. In those days the number of disciples was multiplied. I can sense that around here. Not just members. I tell you about people that want to hear the word of God. People that want to know more about God. People that want to commit their life to Jesus Christ and to the word of God. When you see those things happen, and there arose a murmuring among the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in their daily administrations. I tell you what, you can go to a church that has 300 people in it and ain't got two disciples in the whole place. They're just showing up on Sunday morning, waiting to get out. They sit down there for 15 minutes, and within 15 minutes, they're looking at their watch. When do we get to get out of here? You got my check, now when do I get to go? It was a great sermon. I didn't pick up anything from it. You know, he's just the man that's up there talking. I don't want to be like him. Who cares? But I tell you what, around this house, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to see many disciples. You hear what I'm saying? People that are willing to lay down their life and pick up the cross of Jesus Christ and follow him no matter what he wants to do. That's responsibility. I tell you what, many disciples increased. We don't just got people that want to hang around church because we got a youth group. They want to do something for God. They want to make a difference. They're willing to pay a price. And I tell you what, the number of disciples has increased. Then they called the 12. They called the 12, the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It's important that we stay completely in the word of God that we all might live no matter what. We have to give ourselves to the word of God that we all might be able to live. And that's a sacrifice. There are things that we would all love to do. We'd all love to have our time and do whatever we feel like doing with our time. But I tell you what, we have got to give ourselves to the word of God in prayer, and it takes some time to do that. There's a sacrifice in order to hear heaven. This ain't skill or ability. Y'all know that mess. I tell you what, it's somebody that's got a heart toward God. And why do they have a heart toward God? Because they haven't let anything else cloud that heart. No matter how big, how bright, how shiny, how glittery, how many diamonds are on it, it won't take place of the word of God. Why? Because we told heaven and we told God that we'll give ourselves to prayer and to the word of God. That the word of God might increase. I looked at my life and I'm in the word. You hear what I'm saying? But not to the degree that heaven says I should be in it. But we will get it right. I tell you, one of the scariest things in my life is the thought of not hearing God. I'll get a busy week when I get busy and I get so distracted and I get out there. And you know what? In each busy week, he takes 5 minutes longer to speak. The busier the week, the longer he says, I just wanted to let you know how busy you were this week. Can all of your efforts, all of your work, all of your plans, and all of your ideas outdo one word of God? Man shall not live by their own efforts. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how faith people live. In your word do I meditate day and night. You better not have your mind cluttered with anything else. You got to keep a balance and keep a focus. Dream on things of God. Have that in your spirit. Have that in your heart. In your word do I meditate. Amen. That's what I think about day and night. That's how we overcome. Many times things don't work for us because we think about them too much. We stay in them too long. Get out and get to the word and get back to it with the word and see what happens. But we will give ourselves sometimes in verse 4. But we will give ourselves what? What? Right before service starts? But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What do they say they'll give themselves continually to? Prayer and the ministry of the word. Well, they better be giving themselves continually. Did you get that phone call this week? This one needs you, that one needs you, and everybody needs you. Over here, over there. Jump, 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 jump. Well, then we want to be like the disciples that Jesus had. Now, how are they going to do all that stuff and continue to be in prayer and be in the word? Oh, boy. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And saying, please the whole multitude. Well, they presented that to them. They presented that to them and said the importance of prayer. You better say prayer and the word. And it pleased. See, it wasn't enough for them just to get in the word and to get in prayer. But everybody had to be what? Pleased and at peace with the plan of God. See, people thought that the only thing that did it was just the disciples getting into prayer and getting into the word. They refused to see that everybody was what? Pleased. It's not enough just to do what God wants to do, but your attitude, how you do it, makes a big difference. Just don't do what you do for God any kind of way. We got to be like Jesus. When Jesus said, I delight to do thy will. How do you know whether you're doing the will of God, no matter what it is? Are you delighting in it? Is it a delight? Is it a pain? Is it a stress? Is it a burden? I delight to do thy will. I can't wait to get there. Ask God to do that about your businesses and about your job and about the different things you do in your life. God, show me how this is your will for my life. And as you show me that this is the will for my life, no matter what it is, I will find delight in it. And I'm going to receive joy in life. That's what the word of God does. It sets people free. And you can see it on their countenance. You can tell when somebody's under a good word. Is there, no matter what they do, they can do it with joy and a smile on their face. If you want to brighten up your office, you want to brighten up your business, put the word of God in it. It'll take some time. It's just not going to happen over a week. You just can't put in one CD and expect somebody's face to change. You sick of seeing somebody's ugly, groping face all the time? Take some time to invest the word of God. Start playing tapes and you will see their literal countenance shall be lifted. It will change who they are.